says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, this is very important. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know what that really means? See, what our spirit carries is the truth of who we are and whose we are. And this is key in understanding healing and wholeness, because our spirit, the Holy Spirit within our spirit, is what instructs our mind, our will, and our emotions, which is our soul realm, because that's what we're going to talk about today. We have to live from our spirit. So if we want our spirit to be healed and whole, we need to establish our identity in Christ. Well, we've already declared there's freedom in the house. Is that right? God wants you healed and whole. Do you know that? He wants you absolutely free, healed, whole. But you know, there's an enemy that does not want that. There's an enemy of your soul that wants to keep you sick and tired and weak and defeated. And we're here this morning to expose that. And I feel instructed of the Lord to expose some evil spirit activity and where the enemy is harassing you, tormenting you, oppressing you, and you don't even know it. Because the enemy loves to hide behind lies. And we want to uncover those lies, and we want to find out some truth. Because God wants to set you free. We have been on a healing journey the last couple of weeks as a church. We've been learning since the John G. Lake Healing Seminar, which focused on physical healing, and we've gotten an upgrade in that. And then Pastor has been teaching these last two Sundays on the wholeness that we really want. And, you know, something that the Lord really inspired me with is, especially when we focus on physical healing, you know, we hear the admonition, your faith has made you well, and we want faith for healing. We talk about that a lot. You know, do we believe that God wants us well? But you know, that faith does not just apply to physical healing. It has to do with the whole of your life. Do you really believe that he is Lord of every area of your life? Do you believe he wants you free in every area of your life? Ah, now that's something different. And that's why we need to talk about all the areas of our life that we are whole so that we can be free, because it's that kind of belief that makes us well, right? So we need to invite the Holy Spirit, because I'm praying that even as I speak, because this is going to be very teaching-centered, but yet it's going to be filled with revelation. And I'm praying, and I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come with revelation. And that, Father, as these words are spoken, as your word is spoken, that, Lord, any demonic activity, any oppression of the enemy would be brought to the light this morning. It would come under the scrutiny of the word of God, and any demonic work would be exposed so that your sons and daughters can be free indeed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just touch every heart, both here present and those who are watching online, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just do a deep work and bring us new understanding, fresh understanding, even of these things that we might have heard before. But this morning, it would be heard differently, because we're all on a journey. And, Lord, you want us well. You want us to be filled with the abundance of your house. And it's to that end, Lord, that we pursue you, we seek you, and we thank you for the freedom that you've offered us, Lord. It is our desire to walk in that, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So kind of a recapping a little bit of what Pastor was preaching on last week, I'm going to take actually the scripture that he had, and that's from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which kind of encompasses everything we're going to talk about. Because this says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is God's desire, is that our soul, spirit, and body be made well. Now in the healing training, we focused on the body. So let's just look briefly at what each of these areas looks like to be healed and whole. So what we learned in the seminar was that to heal the body, we need to command sickness to leave. You follow Jesus' example. What did he do? Did he counsel people ahead of time? Did he ask permission? No, he said, be well, rise up and be healed. Recover from your sight. Be made well. We follow Jesus' command. Now, this is a little bit of a shift for us here at Crossroads, because historically, we have been more of the prayer counseling approach, and, you know, is there anything that might be in the way of your physical healing? Well, this, we felt, was a reminder from the Lord that, you know, let's follow Jesus' example here. Now, there may be some other things, but let's start with this, since that's what he did. And so we're still kind of catching up to this as we pray for people. If you would come forward for prayer for physical healing, we're going to command that sickness to leave, because that's what Jesus did. If there's anything else to deal with, we're going to trust him to show us that afterwards, okay? So this is the scriptural command. To find healing for the body, you command sickness to leave. Now, what about the spirit? Well, the spirit, that's where Holy Spirit resides. That's why when you're a believer in Christ, we don't have to worry about being demon-possessed, because we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resides in us. But now it's interesting, because a Holy Spirit comes into our spirit. This is found in Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, this is very important. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know what that really means? See, what our spirit carries is the truth of who we are and whose we are. And this is key in understanding healing and wholeness. Because our spirit, the Holy Spirit within our spirit, is what instructs our mind, our will, and our emotions, which is our soul realm, because that's what we're going to talk about today. We have to live from our spirit. So if we want our spirit to be healed and whole, we need to establish our identity in Christ. This is very important. What does that mean? You get the Word of God inside of you. You need to know who Jesus really is. You need to get to know your healer more than getting to know your healing. Who is he and who am I? What has he already done for me at the cross? If we really live, you know, if Christ lives in us, I mean, it is, I no longer live. It is Christ that lives within me. Do we really live that way? Do you live with the finished work of Christ already there? The Lord asked me this week as I was pondering this. He says, Wanda, are you living from your current state or from my finished state? Oh, how many times do we try to work for our righteousness? When he said, it's already done. I tell you, that takes some renewing of the mind, doesn't it? That's not how we normally think. So this is in the area of our spirit that we have to get the Word of God inside of us so that we live like that from the inside out. Now, what about our soul? Well, our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And that word soul in the scripture actually means the seat of our feelings, desires, affections, aversions. It's your heart, what you feel. And your feelings, your emotions, are actually the result of your thoughts. It's what you believe that will determine how you feel. This is why it's so important to renew our minds. It's why it's so important to know what's true, because we're going to feel what we think. And so in order to heal the soul area of these things, we need to renew our mind, and we need to heal our emotions, because emotions are symptoms. They're the results of experiences, good and bad. And especially when there's been bad experiences, painful experiences, the Lord wants to heal our emotions. But along with that, then, is we've got to renew our minds, because we need to know what God's truth is. And that really is a key in getting free in Christ. It's found in his word, the truth of who he is and what he's already done for us at the cross. Some scriptures here, 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So here's a tie between our health, our physical well-being, and our soul. They go together. Another one is Romans 12:2, which talks about the renewing of mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By the testing, you may discern what is the will of God, his good and acceptable and perfect will. So again, we need to know the truth of God. And a very well-known verse that we use a lot, Hebrews 4:12. It's talking about the power of the word. And it says, for the word of God is living and active. Do you realize that every time you read the word, it's alive? Yeah. You should never read it the same way. Every time you go to the word of God, expect the Holy Spirit to show you something you never saw before. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. See, that's what the truth does. It helps you to see, wait a minute, this is my flesh. This is just a negative emotion. This is a lie versus what is God's truth. That's what the word does. It separates that out, and it helps you to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, it helps you to recognize, what is my soul feeling and why? Is that what God wants me to feel? Does it reflect the fruit of the Spirit? So this is the power of the word of God. So when we're talking about the soul realm. And when we're talking about demonic oppression, see, this is where evil spirits attach themselves. They crawl on us, hover over us, sit on our shoulder. Those little things, they whisper in our ears lies to keep us from receiving the truth and walking in it. It's in this soul area where we can become oppressed, discouraged, harassed. We feel a cloud over us. And sometimes you might be wondering why. And so that's why you need to keep your ears up this morning for what Holy Spirit might show you, because I think some of you are bound up and you think it's all you, your issue, and you have no idea. There's some evil spirits lurking around. It's not you. And God's given you authority over them. We have authority over every one of them. That's the power of the Word of God. So what we're going to do is, in looking at this whole area, I want to talk about soul ties and strongholds this morning. And there's a lot to unpack here, okay? A lot of notes. This is why you might want to be listening to this again afterwards. But it's going to arm you with some truth. And I know some of these terms might not be new to some of you. But again, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak how they might be applying to you now, as well as helping others in your family, your friends, people who deal with things. You know, when you're armed with this, you begin to recognize a lot more what's really going on behind the scenes, and we can really set the captives free. That's what we've been called to do. Amen? So, a soul tie. What is a soul tie? Well, in the Bible, there's really no term. You can't find soul tie. But you can find the word knit, which actually means to tie, to bind up, to join together. And you can find the word cleave, mostly in the King James Version. But that word means to adhere to, fasten together, be together. So it's this tie in the soul. And again, if the soul is our emotions, a soul tie is an emotional attachment to someone else. It's a tie to someone else in the area of the emotions. Now, there can be good soul ties and there can be bad soul ties. Okay, so we have to understand this. Now, first and foremost, the Lord wants us to be knit together with his heart. That's where it all starts. That's when all of our relationships can flow in a healthy way. When our hearts, our heart, our soul, our aversion, our affection can be tied to him. Matthew 22:37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Why? Because it affects every area of your life. When you know that your heart, your desire is solely for him, that's what everything flows from. Now, in terms of having healthy relationships and this blessing of God to flow through our lives relationally, God has to have an order. And if we follow this order, then we're going to find the best of God's blessing on our life. Because after God, the next relationship is a marriage relationship. And our intimacy with our spouse, that soul tie that is a good thing between husband and wife. You'll find in Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast, or cleave, to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is very powerful, and it's very healthy, and it's how God designed it, that a husband and wife have this union, this attachment, because they're under God's blessing. And it can be a wonderful blessing when that marriage relationship is in order under God's provision and God's protection. And then even throughout Scripture, you'll find, you know, after that, then you have the home, the children then, which would also form those ties in a good way. And then perhaps, you know, friends and church family and, you know, workplace. Then there's other relationships. And so there's an order that God has intended where relationships can thrive and be healthy because they are operating in honor to God's word and his covenant promises. When they become unhealthy is when that order gets out of order. When God no longer is first, and when we put other people in the wrong places. And it's usually because of some unmet emotional need that happens. And so we have to, this is what we're often not aware of, because we don't realize how powerful our emotions are and the longings of our heart are. So bad soul ties, they're relationships that go outside of God's order, honor, and design. That's what opens the door then to unhealthy soul ties. And I'm just going to give you some examples. The very first one, and this is one that we've seen common through the years, and that is a soul tie with a parent. And I'm not talking about a child to a parent. I'm talking about an adult with a parent. And it's usually because somewhere in the past, in the childhood, there was some need that you had as a child that was never met. And if you don't recognize that, it follows you into your adult years. And there's a part of you that is still longing for that affirmation from mom or that approval from dad. And so there's still this umbilical cord there. See, you haven't left. Therefore, if you don't leave, you can't cleave. And you can't even receive what God has for you in the present. For me, that became very real because I had a very unhealthy soul tie with my dad. As a young girl, he was a pastor. He loved the Lord, but he had grown up an orphan, and he had a lot of personal issues. He had demons in his life, and he didn't even know it. But I wanted so much to please him, and he knew how to kind of wrap me around his little finger and put guilt on me because he would always ask me to go with him to minister, to accompany him on the piano as he sang and all these things. And he always say, you know, if you really love God, you're going to do this. You know, because he saw the call of God on my life. And so it was just guilt and manipulation. But because I wanted his approval, I did it. And I didn't realize that because this tie was so strong, the door was wide open for me to receive the stuff he was carrying. And it didn't show up until we were married. And then all of a sudden, things got triggered. And they were very unhealthy because, see, I couldn't really cleave to him. I was still tied to my dad. And so the Lord took me through a process of healing and deliverance. I mean, it totally amazed me because I had no idea. Because, see, my adult self had already moved on. But that little girl inside of me had never left. So the Lord actually took me back. It was in the area of my emotions. And I broke that soul tie. I cut the umbilical cord. I honored my dad. I loved him. And I never dishonored him. But see, I saw the enemy at work. And see, this is what happens. It's not against the person. But this is how the enemy comes in to muddy the waters. Because his goal is for us to take our eyes off the Lord. That we're not cleaving to him. So he'll put all these other things in the way of that. So when I got free of that soul tie with my dad, I mean, it totally transformed our relationship. Everything they used to say, you know, to try to trigger me, it didn't affect me anymore. There's another term for soul tie that actually is very familiar in counseling, and that is codependency. It's the same thing. It's when two people are so dependent on each other, again, because there's an unmet emotional need. There's something that other person is giving you that, see, you're believing a lie. I can't do without this. I'm not getting it anywhere else. God's not giving it to me, but this person is. Oh, see, that opens the door for the enemy to come in and just start twisting your belief system and who God really is and what he wants to do in your life. And so, you know, a soul tie with a parent is very common. You can have a soul tie with a friend that goes outside your marriage. We've seen this happen before, where a marriage is having some struggles or one spouse is not agreeing with the other, so the one spouse goes to the friends, and they get really close, and they pray together, and then those friends begin to side with one side or the other, and you really need to do this, and you need to do that. And before long, because this attachment, they're not even listening to their spouse anymore. Now, obviously, you know, there's a lot of things that can go into this, but look at the principle of when these relationships are out of order, And you're putting a friend before your relationship with your spouse. It's just out of God's order. And so these things can happen so easily and so quickly, and we're not aware of it. I know something that, just from a practical standpoint, you can ask yourself the question is, who do you think of first when a major decision has to be made? Because if there is a soul tie, what you're often thinking of, I wonder what they're going to think. I wonder how they're going to respond. Are they going to be okay with this? See, when that's your constant thought when making a decision, you might want to ask, why am I so concerned about what they think? Yeah. Now, obviously, if it's a marriage relationship, yeah, you want to be aware of that, but you get the point. This is how the enemy sneaks in, to just disrupt this flow of God's blessing in our lives. Now, another area that has to be mentioned is sex outside of marriage. This is something, it's not some old-fashioned religious rule. There's a reason why Scripture is clear about this. And it's an uncomfortable truth, Because remember in Genesis when it says, when you cleave to your husband, the two become one flesh? That one flesh is extremely powerful, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. Because when you join with one flesh, that means everything spiritually and physically and emotionally that other person is carrying, you automatically get. You've opened the door, and every issue that they have, now the enemy has access to you. We've seen this happen. And we have, when we take people through freedom appointments, you know, we invite them. Do you want to get free of this? And I mean, they'll list names. They have to cut that tie, renounce that. And we find that sometimes issues that person thought was theirs, they couldn't get free of, when they renounced that soul tie and they cut that off, they got free and they realized it wasn't even theirs. It was that other person. So this is something we want to get free of it. And you know what? There is no shame or condemnation, because whom the Lord has set free, he has set free indeed. It's the power of confession of our sin and forgiveness. He frees us from it. I mean, isn't that amazing? That we don't have to be bound to these things. He's provided a way out for us. It's a matter of humbling ourselves, you know, and be willing to go through that process and just acknowledge, you know what, I messed up, but I want to make it right, God, because I want to be free. So all of these things can contribute to forming these unhealthy soul ties, because no relationship should go above the Lord and in our marriage relationship. They can become idols at times. You know, even a child, we've seen this too. Parents can actually have an unhealthy soul tie with a child that becomes more important than the relationship with their spouse. I mean, we could go a lot of variations. Okay, I'm kind of poking things here because I don't want anyone to be bound up. I want you to be free, and I want you to experience the fullness that Christ has for you. So bottom line is, if there is an unhealthy soul tie, you confess it, and you cut that cord, and you ask the Lord to forgive you for looking to that other person to meet a need that he wants to meet. And then you ask the Lord to cleanse your heart, you know, of anything that was taken on, and you thank the Lord for freedom from that. Like I said, Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. So that's a little bit about soul ties. Now, what about strongholds? And I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to have to do this quickly here. First of all, there is a good stronghold, the best stronghold, and that is the Lord is our stronghold. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Hallelujah. He's the fortress that we can depend upon. He's the rock that we can stand on. He is the good stronghold. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, it talks about the kinds of strongholds that are not good. This says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And then it describes what they are. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So a stronghold is any belief that is counter to God's truth concerning your identity and your security. It's going against who God said he is. It's going against who God says you are. It's an argument. It's some lofty opinion, your own imagination, that you think this is who God is, but the word says, no, he's like this. Or you think you're this way, but the word says, no, you're actually this. So when there's a belief that goes counter to that, you can form an unhealthy soul, a stronghold, because it will guide you. It's going to keep you bound up from receiving the truth. And so what are some examples? Well, if you have a belief that says, well, I don't know if God really wants me healed. Now, is that what Scripture says? No. So that's a lofty opinion. That's an argument against God's truth. Well, that's going to keep you bound up to sickness. That's a stronghold. You need to get rid of that. You need to renew your mind. What does God really say? Now, I already used forgiveness as another one. If you've determined, no, I can't forgive that person because the pain is too much, well, that's not what the word says either. So you're going to be bound to bitterness and to pain. God doesn't want you to be set up like that. You can have some kind of lie that you need something in order to be happy. You know, I need to take these pills to be happy. You know, to be healthy, to be whole. or I'm afraid that something bad is going to happen. Let me tell you, fear is one of the first spirits, evil spirits, that visits you in this whole thing. Because a stronghold is formed usually because there's some kind of fear that God's not enough, that you need something else. And so that's the first one that comes in. So all these strongholds, again, they keep us bound to these things. Compare a stronghold to a bad habit. Because we're gonna compare a stronghold and a demonic stronghold as a bad habit, an addiction. Because that's the parallel. So a stronghold is like a bad habit. You know you've got a bad habit and you got to break it. It's not really good for you, but by an act of your will, you can choose, I'm going to start doing different because this isn't good for me. Let's take an example. You're always late. Now, some of you, that might not be a stronghold to you. But see, for for those who understand, because this is something that we actually teach our leaders, because if you have a revelation of what it communicates to other people, that they're really not that important, that you're more important. I know I'm stepping on some toes on purpose. Okay, let's just say you've had a revelation. This is a bad habit. I really don't want to be late anymore. Well, what do you have to do? You have to determine you got to change some habits. You got to change some practices. I got to set the alarm earlier. I got to lay out my clothes the night before. Maybe I'll have a friend call me to remind me to be there. And then you have to practice to form a new habit, right? Because you have a new truth. That actually being on time is respecting other people's, and it makes me look more responsible, okay? And so you can do that. Now, if you're able to do that by a choice and you form that new habit, hallelujah, you've broken that bad habit. But what happens if you try that and you just cannot do it? It's like you try, and it's like you hit roadblocks. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I just can't seem to do this. Well, then when you get to the point where no longer your will, just by trying, you can't do it, it may be that you no longer just have a bad habit. See, if you've done it so long, now it's become an addiction. Now, I could use other examples, obviously. It could be, you know, drinking. It could be taking medication. It could be any number of things. It could be overeating. Any number of things where you know it's not good for you and it's a bad habit and you try to break it. And if you get to the point that you can't on your own anymore, you may want to ask, are there some evil spirits that have come in to this mess that are now keeping me bound to this that I can no longer do it on my own? Because that's what addiction is, right? An addiction, it's because that thing has gone on for so long. See, because what you're doing is it's actually disobedience to the Lord because it's not healthy for you. It's not right. And so you've basically just opened the door to the enemy to come in and to now exaggerate, multiply, feed that thing. Now, let me give you some scriptures here, okay? Ephesians 4, 26, 27, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So this very easily, it says, okay, anger, that could be a bad thing. There are times for righteous anger. But it's saying, okay, if you've got anger, this could be a problem. So don't let it fester. Deal with it right now. Don't let your anger become sin. Deal with it now. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to give the devil a foothold. So this is what any issue will present is an opportunity. Are you going to be tempted to do the wrong thing? Because if you give in to a temptation, see, that's what makes it sin. Being tempted is not a sin. It says Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, but was without sin. It's when you give in to it. Okay, so let's look at another scripture that's going to describe this even better. This is in James 1, 14 to 15. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Ah, see, that's the soul realm. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. So this is a picture of what happens when something goes from a bad habit to an addiction. You're tempted. You give in. Okay, you might still say, okay, I'm gonna change. And you by an act of your will, you determine I'm going to do something different. And if you can, hallelujah. But what if you decide, you give in to it again? You really kind of think that it's not that bad. Because, see, the next evil spirit that's going to come and start hovering over you after fear is deception. Because that little thing is going to start whispering, It's really not that bad. You're okay. You can stop this anytime you want. No one's going to really know. It's going to start deceiving you into thinking it's no big deal, even denial. It's no problem. But if you keep feeding that thing and you don't turn back, what does it say? When sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. This is what the enemy's after. He wants to kill your spirit. He wants to kill your hope. He wants to take that victory away from you. And so just like an addiction, you know, it's in an inability. Okay, when you get to this point, you need help. You can't, because your own will is no longer enough. And we want to expose these demonic intruders that are hovering over us, causing us to feel defeated, feeling shame, like, why can't I get over this? You know, and he'll want to keep you isolated in this whole process because he knows the power of confession and of sharing with one another. And this is what this next scripture, okay, how do we get free? James 5, 15 and 16 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You know, humility is a very powerful thing. And it's really one of the keys to getting free. Because you just have to admit, I need help. And probably the older that you are in Christ, the harder it is. Because you're already feeling guilty, like I should know better. And then to even confess it to someone else, you feel embarrassed. But let me just tell you, don't go there. Because once you experience freedom and your conscience is free and you really get free of those things, the cost is worth it. There's nothing like being free in Christ, where you no longer have those whispers in your ear that you really are free. So we gotta get help. Don't let that shame or guilt keep us bound up. And then secondly, you just repent. You know, for allowing it to happen, for giving in to your flesh, that soul, your desire. You know, this is why I pray, Lord, sanctify my desires, my longings, that they are pure unto you. I don't want my flesh to guide me. I want the Spirit of God to guide me. I've got to rule over my flesh. So many of us, we just live according to the flesh, and we think we got grace, and we don't realize we're all bound up. We have to let the Spirit guide us. So we have to repent for our actions, and we renounce our agreement. This is the power of it. When you see that lie with the enemy, I renounce it. I'm not partnering with that lie anymore. I'm not partnering with that. I refuse to believe that. Fear, I am not partnering with you. Shame, I no longer wear you. That's not who I am. Okay, and so you renounce that agreement, and you command any demonic influence to leave you. You're basically saying, you have authority in Christ. I have authority in Christ over you. And then you renounce that if you sense any evil spirits working. And then the most important thing is you replace it with the truth. And again, this is so key. In any area where you feel like the enemy is harassing you or there's oppression, Lord, what lie am I believing? What am I really believing about this? Why is this such an issue for me? Why do I keep hanging on? Why am I still drawn to this? Show me what the lie is. And I tell you, sometimes that revelation alone will instantly set you free. I've experienced that. Just when the Holy Spirit drops in the truth of how he sees this thing or how he sees me, it's like immediately something shifts and I'm free. That's the power of the Word of God. The truth will set you free. But then you got to keep walking it out. So this is the process of renewing your mind. Because the more that you've been following that lie, see, that's become a very familiar rut to you. So it's going to take some intentional work to form some new paths by which we can live. So lastly, here's some core principles in getting free. As we're looking at, again, this whole thing in our area of our soul, our spirit, and our body, yes. But again, we're looking at those areas where we do not want any demonic influence or whispers in our ears. Make your pursuit after Jesus, okay? Don't go looking for demons. You know, the old adage, well, there's not a demon behind every bush. There's a demon behind every lie. They're a lot more active than what we think. But you don't have to go looking for them. That's the thing. If you make your pursuit, I want all of Jesus. Lord, sanctify me. I want to be filled with your spirit. I want the purity of who you are, and I'm going all out for you. I guarantee you, you make that your goal. If there is any demonic stuff going on, it'll show up. Holy Spirit will show you. At the right time, he'll show you how to deal with it. So make your pursuit Jesus. Next, be sure to humble yourself. As I said, humbling yourself and honoring spiritual authority are both, again, very powerful weapons spiritually, because demons are rooted in pride and rebellion against authority. I mean, this is Lucifer. Pride and rebellion against authority. That's where all evil spirits are born from. And so the way to counter any of that activity is to do the opposite. You humble yourself. You go low. You admit. The lower you go, the enemy can't touch you. There is power. I'm telling you, there is power in humility. Pursue it. Seek it. When you can really die to yourself and die to your reputation, I tell you, you will be free. When you finally give up what other people think about you, you can really be free. This is the word of the Lord to some of you. I'm feeling it. Do not compare yourself. It does not matter what other people think about you. And don't hold yourself up to some kind of thing like you can't forgive yourself. Just go low. Humble yourself and say, God, I need help. I'm human, yeah. But as you humble yourself, I mean, he rushes to meet you. It is amazing. And as you honor spiritual authority, that means you invite that feedback and get godly counsel out of no shame, no condemnation. And let me just tell you, in this house, there is freedom in this house. There is no shame and condemnation for anyone who comes forward to confess sin. There's no label that we put on people and you know, put you in groups. We all come before the cross the same. We're all who have our flesh issues that we have to deal with. Everybody does. But as we humble ourselves before one another and we get that help, God will set us free. And then we need to make it our aim to renew our mind to displace the lies. Living by the truth, it does take work. You have to get in the word. You have to feed that spirit. Feed your spirit. That's key to walking in freedom. Because as you know, there's another scripture that says, okay, you might have a demon and you can get delivered of that demon, but if you don't fill that house back up, they're going to invite six others. You're going to seven others, whatever. It's just going to be worse. And we've seen that happen. This is why some people, I think you have to wait for God's timing in this. Because if you're not ready to do the homework in knowing how to keep your house filled, you might not be ready for deliverance. Because you could be worse off. Okay, you gotta build up your immune system. Okay, to have this surgery done. So we can invite the Holy Spirit to do this. Now I'm praying that as these truths have gone out, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, maybe exposing some things in your own life. Maybe just to go home and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that I have opened the door unknowingly? Because of my thoughts, because of my beliefs, that I've allowed evil spirits to come and even hover around me. I don't want that. I mean, if that's the case, you know, we're going to have people up here praying for you. You're invited to come up, and if you need to pray with someone, you know, just to start the journey of getting free from these things, then we want to do it for you. But the other way that I'm going to close this, we're going to watch a short 3-minute testimony from Peter Harrison, who was a part of our last Free Me Day. Because Free Me Day is something here that we do at Crossroads on an ongoing basis to give an opportunity for you to feed your spirit. Remember what we're talking about? That we've got to inform our spirit, build up our spirit with God's truth, because that's the foundation for freedom. And that's what the Free Me Day does. You know when you go to the doctor and have a physical? It's a whole assessment of all your systems. Am I healthy? You know, is everything good? Well, that's what Free Me Day does spiritually. It's a spiritual assessment. How am I doing in these various areas of my life? And he shows it, that we show you what the Word of God says about each of these, and you can then look at them and then assess, am I living this, or is my life showing something different? And it's the beginning of the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to come and to really bring you freedom. And so there's actually pages on the information desk that if you're interested, I mean, we highly recommend anybody that's a part of this family, you need to go through a Free Me Day, because it will arm you. It will equip you, I guarantee you, not only for yourself, but for your family, for your friends. And the next one isn't scheduled, but it'll probably be around the first of next year, so be looking for it. And let's make it our aim that this really is a house of freedom, that we want to be free indeed. We want to be vessels that are just so filled with the glory of God, and there's nothing in the way. Is that your prayer? I pray that it is, that you want to be free, and you want to be able to testify to that, and you want to be whole, healed and set free. That's our prayer. So I pray that this blesses you. So we're just going to watch this testimony before we close out. Amen. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Peter. I'm going to share with you my testimony from September 28th, which was the day that Crossroads hosted their Free Me Day. I can very confidently say that it was probably one of the most life-changing experiences that I've done. I was faced with a lot of opportunity to get free, freedom from the things that I'd been carrying or the things that I found burdensome. I went through quite a difficult period of time over the last few years, just kind of getting out of some issues with disappointment and anger and frustration, and realizing that I've built different patterns and treatment of certain people in my life. And so since I've done the Free Me Day, even after I left there, I just felt like this level of anger had just lifted off of me. The difference is that, you know, even going out in the car and driving, I'm not getting angry at drivers messing up on the road, you know, stuff like that. So something that I had struggled with quite a lot is the shame of things that had happened before that were out of my control, and that had caused me to kind of go in a direction that I didn't necessarily want to. But I remember I went up to worship, to lead worship, that's the following Sunday, and immediately was just up there and just felt like the closest it to God that I think I have in a very long time, just like this connection with Him. And that really empowered me to lead, I think, probably more effectively than I have before. It's Free Me Day is really Free Me Day has really helped me to do better in marriage as well, to open up connection with my wife, and just to really get to that first thought of what is the Lord doing, instead of going to like thoughts of difficulty or hardship or critical thinking, like, oh, this is not good, like things are about to go pear-shaped, you know. Just I feel like my focus is back to where it should be. My focus is on Jesus. My focus is on the presence of the Holy Spirit and getting alongside Him as my first thought, more than thinking about all the things around that could, the voices that could come and try to convince me that I'm not enough or I can't do this. And if anyone is in that position where they feel like they're stuck or feel like there's no hope in areas of their life for just repeated patterns and cycles, then I would absolutely encourage you to sign up for the next one.